Today's sermon text is from the Old Testament, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is the word of the Lord.
Question: are you excited about your life? Or do you feel as if you are merely existing? Are you moving with confidence toward a desired goal? Or do you feel that you are drifting along from day to day without any purpose or direction? Perhaps there was a time when you were excited about your life, but now the excitement has faded, and you are asking, what has happened to me? Why am I so apathetic about my life? What happened to that inner drive? Some think about their vocation or job, and they lament, I can't go any higher, do any better, go any farther. I can't do more than I am doing right now. Others feel as if their lives have gone stale. Perhaps their marriage isn't as dynamic as it once was, or they have lost all interest in hobbies and activities that once gave them pleasure. Still others say that they feel plagued by their lives, stuck in their circumstances, wondering what's it all about. To some of us, rolling the clock back, that movie, What's It All About, Alfie? What is my life worth, really? What happened to that joy? There are reasons we feel stuck, adrift, discouraged. There are reasons people lose their enthusiasm for life. And there are reasons God's people lose their hope, their sense of purpose, and their joy. The foremost reasons for these negative feelings and thoughts are two. One, people have lost sight of who God made them to be and what He designed them to do. And secondly, as a result, people are not actively, intentionally, and purposefully pursuing what the Father has planned and desired for them. If you truly want to pursue and reach your full potential, friend, for God, then you must face up to two basic truths. One, God has placed more within you and me than you realize. And secondly, you may have likely settled for the life you have now. Have you ever heard the expression, settle for life? This expression manifests itself in a lifestyle that is complacent and content in all circumstances. Furthermore, this individual regrettably believes that his or her station in life is adequate or satisfactory. In the field of education, children from their earliest grades in school are generally given one of three marks for achievement: outstanding, satisfactory, unsatisfactory. For most children, getting an S for satisfactory was just that, satisfactory. S might also stand for settled for. And if a student becomes content with a satisfactory effort, rarely will he or she apply himself or herself to earn an O, outstanding. The same is true in life. If a person becomes content with what is average, minimally acceptable, or satisfactory, He or she will rarely exert the effort or work towards something truly excellent, outstanding. Eventually, the person who has settled for life may actually feel threatened by challenges to achieve, have, experience more than what is presently the reality of her or his life. Ultimately, this person will turn his or her back on the future and will actually refuse to hope for more, seek more, pursue more. Now, if any of these statements and or comments resonate with you, I encourage you to begin to see yourself the way God sees you. When you see yourself through His eyes, no longer will you rest on the satisfactory marks of a settled for life. The question then comes, well, how does God see me? Your Heavenly Father sees you through eyes of love and forgiveness. That's the first main point, as shown on your outline. He sees where you are, but more importantly, He sees the person He made you to be. God sees all that wonderful potential and possibilities He created you to fulfill. And if you're willing to discover and align yourself with His plan and purpose for you, He will bless you more than you can ever imagine. I'll repeat that. He can bless you more than what you could ever imagine. God promises to bless you with life at its best. He sees the restored joy and peace and sense of accomplishment that He wants in your life. This is why I chose Psalm 139, 13 through 16, as the key scripture for today's sermon, read a few moments ago by Jim. Now, I'd like to unpack them, where you will and I together see three important truths about the way God sees you and me. The first subpoint of truth to unpack is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In God's eyes, yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It needs repetition, doesn't it? Other translations from the earliest versions of the Bible use the words awesomely wonderful. That used to be a word some years ago, an adjective. Awesome. That's awesome, right? That's what the Father says about you. He has made you in a way that is awesome. In the first chapter of Genesis, God says again and again that what He made is good. Good. Everything the Creator made was, at the outset, perfect in form and perfect in function. It was beautiful. It was ordered and magnificently connected to all other aspects of creation. It worked exactly as He intended it to work. But, here's the but, after the fall, both form and function became warped. Yes, it did. Each of us was born into a sinful world that isn't always beautiful and doesn't work well or harmoniously. Nevertheless, and this is a key point for you and I to understand, God said about your creation, it is, notice this next word, very good. God raised the bar from good to very good. God made you for good purposes, and He made you with the potential to be perfected by His Spirit. That means that He desires to engage in the process of transforming you from the inside out so that you are continually being molded into the most God-beloved, Christ-honoring, Spirit-yielded person that you can ever be. More to come. The second sub-point to unpack is that God knows everything about you. The psalmist wrote, and I quote, "Your eyes saw my substance," end of quote. Your substance is more than your flesh. It is the sum total of all your natural gifts, talents, dreams, personality, abilities. Even before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God saw you as a whole and unique person. He made you one of a kind. And from the beginning, he saw your ending. The Lord has always known what you could be and do, because he is the one who created you. The third sub-point I like to unpack is this. God is the author and the finisher of your days. Author, finisher. You two were born at a particular time and to a particular family in a particular location. He made your life a set number of years in a set environment so you could be and do all that he created you to be and to do. Your purpose, my purpose, on this earth is to develop your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities to the best of your ability so you can impact the world around you for Jesus Christ. That's a personal mission statement, huh? Yeah, I like that. Friends, if you have wondered why you are here on this earth, understand that God has placed you here as a unique person with a unique mission aimed at establishing and extending his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Your potential, my potential, lies securely and completely in that purpose. The second main point for today's sermon is you and I must ask God questions. Have you ever stopped to seriously ask God about his plan, his will, his purposes for your life? And, equally important, are you fully willing and available to receive his answers? Here are some samplings of questions that I've called God asks ones. One, what are you doing in your life right now for me? How are you using your potential to bring me honor? Have you considered what I may want to do through your life? Realize that only God can answer these questions. And for the vast majority of people, in the vast majority of situations and circumstances, he will answer them when asked. But it is not only the young person sometimes who needs to ask these questions. Everyone needs to ask God these following types of life-altering events that periodically occur in our lives. Like the person who has recently lost a spouse, or the person who has recently been released from a job, or the person who has retired, or the person who is about to be married, or the person who is about to become a parent, grandparent too. We all need to ask God repeatedly and frequently, what did you create me to be and to do? What have you purposed for me? A great benefit and a resource is the Bible. You know that, and I know that. It's God's Word. For in it are contained five key principles that are vital for our understanding of potential. Principles for Potential. Principles for Potential. Which just so happens to be our third main point in today's message. The first subpoint is this: every person has potential. No matter how much you may have achieved already, and no matter how old you are, there's still more God has for you to be and to do. That's exciting, isn't it? And the second subpoint is this: every person has been created by God to bring Him glory. You ask, how do we accomplish that? By being the people He made us to be, as individuals, and then collectively as His church. In this case, Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And by fulfilling His purposes for us on earth. The third on that subpoint is this: every person needs God's help. In other words, no one can reach his or her potential without the Father's help. A fourth subpoint is this: God enjoys fellowship and spiritual intimacy with His people. I'll repeat that one. I like that. God enjoys fellowship and spiritual intimacy with His people. Friends, God has not only created you with the gifts and talents to do His work on earth, but He created you with the desires, the dreams, the dispositions to become a person with whom He wants to be with, fellowship with, enjoy spiritual intimacy. And the fifth and final subpoint there is, God knows the limits of your potential. He simply does. Remember, you and I are finite and do not have the ability to fathom all that God has purposed for you and me. Truthfully, friends, no one can fully understand the depths of His love, the help that He desires to give, or the blessings and rewards that He has prepared. A person may reach the pinnacle of a profession or be lauded as the best in the world at a particular sport, a skill, a craft. A person may rank at the top of any number of the world's scales of criteria and evaluation. But, and this is an important but, unless the person factors God into life and seeks to love and serve Him wholeheartedly, this person has not reached full potential. This person has maximized, yes, only the outward limits, the outward abilities, but not the inward attributes. And that previous last sentence leads us to our fourth and final main point to today's message. Attributes and abilities matter. The first subpoint there is, your attributes are your character traits. Simply put, they are the real you that exists regardless of external circumstances. They are the you that shows up where you go or with whom you associate. The Bible gives us a very, very good description of the character that God desires to see in each of us. The Apostle Paul wrote that it is the Father's purpose to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might reflect Christ's nature and character to the world around us. Romans 8:29 says in part, and I quote, predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, end of quote. That character is summarized in another of Paul's writings as recorded in Galatians 22-23, which reads in part, and I quote once again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness. Friends, these attributes are not ones that we can produce on our own. They develop in us as we say no to the flesh and yes to the Holy Spirit living and working in us. The Spirit grows us up into the fullness of Christ's character. That's exciting. He generates in us the awareness and the ability and the courage to live out a new life marked by godliness. Remember, you and I cannot reach full potential of our attributes apart from God. And the same is true for your abilities, which are your talents and gifts. That's the fourth subpoint. The Lord gives you opportunities for developing your talents and gifts. He orchestrates your life to put you into the company of the right teachers, the encouragers, and yes, even competitors, all of whom have a role in pushing you to achieve your full potential. But always remember that it is God who gives you the mental and physical energy to pursue the development of your talents and gifts. He is the one who provides the next heartbeat, your next breath, your next idea, and your next awareness of what is possible. And now this brings us to the fifth subpoint in this section. That is, God gives opportunities for you to produce true growth. Friends, the Christian life was never intended to be a matter of book learning and head knowledge. No, not at all. God wants us to live out the life He created and intends for us to live. The Bible repeatedly tells us to get knowledge and understanding, but then it challenges us to pursue wisdom, which is the application of knowledge and understanding in a real world situations according to God's commandments and principles. Friends, we must take a step beyond the mere application of what we know. And that step is service. Service. Truly, our abilities are really challenged when we show them in ways that genuinely help other people. In short, bottom line, service to others really matters. I'll repeat that. Service to others really matters. In bringing this message now to a conclusion, may I say that it is God who has placed with you and me the attitudes that will drive you and me to develop the right attributes that ultimately bring Him the glory. All the glory. The Father has placed within you the aptitudes, and me also, that can be trained and molded into the right abilities that bring Him the glory. And yes, God works throughout your and my entire life to bring you into the fullness of both your attributes and your abilities. God's always at work. God's always at work. You cannot do it in your own strength. You can only do it in God's strength and supply. To keep this in mind, only God knows your potential, and only God can help you to fulfill it. Let me close by asking you two questions. If you have never asked the Lord, one, what do you want me to be or continue to do? Then ask Him that today. And if you have never asked God this, what do you want me to do continuously with the rest of my life? I encourage you to ask Him that also today. Say amen, someone. Amen.